Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, it's a privilege, a wonderful privilege to preach the gospel. Amen. And you have colleagues, you have relatives, family members, friends who are not safe. Friends, take it seriously. Amen. I mean, to buy a house or to save, to buy a car or, you know, the kind of thing. These are things that support your life. But what's more important is that don't let the people around you not know Jesus. Amen. The best way to love them is to give them Jesus. Amen. You know that you cannot be helping them all the time. You can give them money, you help them in certain areas. You send them to a doctor, you help them in their, probably in the area of their health, physical. But a lot of people are suffering depression. That's mental. Doctors cannot help that. Amen. But Jesus can. Amen. To a great extent, psychiatrists will tell you that there are certain things you need to follow, and then they give you some medication as well. Thank God for doctors, thank God for psychiatrists. They do their very best. But there's a depth because of the way God made man, spirit, soul, and body. Every three parts has got to be ministered. And your loved one, your brother, your mother, your relative, your colleague, the one that you love, the one you think of most often. Is that person saved? When Jesus comes to that person's life, I'll tell you this, the person will be so grateful to you. Now, let's say, you know, a mother or a father may persecute you because you're a Christian. They may make fun of you. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, I have a number of them now in heaven who used to make fun of me. Amen. I remember my grandfather would tell me, all right, hey, I was just a young boy of 6 or 7. Think about it. Talking to a 6, 7-year-old boy. I really believe in Jesus. And he says, pray right now. See, got bread, come down or not. Come, pray, 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 pray. Then he laughed and laughed and laughed, you know. Then he told me he goes to church when he was younger. But I go to church and I sing in the choir, but my eyes was looking at all the girls, he said. That's my grandfather, you know. And when he shared that, he wasn't young. But those are his memories. Well, when he had a heart condition and it was really bad in the hospital, my mother was there and he was like going up and down, up and down. Again, doctors do their very best. But there he was. He was like desperate for air. He had a heart condition and he went up and down, up and down. And he grabbed my mother and he was not very clear, lucid in what he was saying. And he says, finally, two words escaped his mouth. And because they are Pranakan, right, Baba people, my mother is Baba, Pranakan, straight Chinese, they speak a bit of Malay. Amen. She says, forgive gua. That's what you must call upon Jesus. My mom said, say forgive gua, forgive gua, forgive me. Call upon Jesus. And she knew that all his life, you know, he would persecute Christians. He would just make fun of them. He refused. Even in his dying moments, he went up and down, up and down. And finally, he looked up to heaven. That was the first time my mother said, you can see almost a change. He looked up, like he saw something there. And he says, Jesus, forgive gua. And there's a peace that came to him. My grandmother, right, my mom's mom, was there. Wasn't a believer also. And from then on, he fell back to his pillow, fell into a deep sleep. And that week, he went back to be with Jesus. How many think the Lord is merciful, right? Even the last moment, like the thief at the cross, he will come and save you. But pray, don't take their salvation for granted. The best thing you can give your children is Jesus. Amen. I mean, think about it. You give them 3 hot meals a day, all right? You bathe them, you clothe them. But most importantly, what they need is Jesus. And what the world needs is Jesus. Amen. Wasn't too long after that, my grandmother got saved also because of what she saw. Of what she saw happen, she received Jesus. So they are both right now jumping up and down heaven. All right? Young couple. forever young, forever strong, forever healthy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This year, we're going to see many salvations. Amen. Amen. You see, the theme of the year has got to do with God's plans and purposes in your life. Whatever plans you have, all right, they are actually subservient. They are within the plan, the overall plan of God this year. So when you follow God, it's like when you follow the river that's going in one direction, whereas another river is going in another direction. Amen. Make sure that if that is your destination, you don't jump on this river. You flow with this river. And another thing about rivers is that they just carry you. You don't carry the river. Amen. Amen. You just get into the boat. And what do you do in the boat? You sit down. You rest. Amen. The river will carry you. You just direct. Amen. The Christian life is like that. It's a life of rest, and yet you direct. You follow the flow of the Spirit. It's like ever since power steering came in. That once the Holy Spirit comes inside you, you just have to decide, no, I will not commit that sin. Amen. You just decide in your spirit, no, the Holy Spirit takes over. It's like power steering. You decide to go here, and the power steering kicks in. Remember those days? Okay, don't put up your hands. You will show your age. Do you remember those days when you used to turn left and it goes like this? Remember that? And then you turn right. Amen. And everyone look at you and you look constipated. Those days are gone ever since power steering came in, right? Y'all ladies might not know or appreciate this, but I'm telling you, you are blessed. Because we guys built our muscles with power steering. Amen? I'm telling you, 100 years ago, I remember when I was driving. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to say that one day. Amen. If Jesus tarries, I want to say, looking like this still. Amen. Praise the Lord. How about you? Amen? The Bible says, we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. He might come this year. But until then, sit back, watch this. Kairos year of right time, right place. Amen. If you have not experienced this already, because I believe many of you have experienced this. Amen. Even this past few months, especially, it accelerated. Already we received testimonies of which we only select two. We received so many testimonies of people right time, right place. That Russian man, or that Russian lady rather, who was about to commit suicide, she wasn't a believer, but she still want to watch TV before she commits suicide, right? That urge. Think about that. Who put that urge in her? I mean, when you're depressed, you don't want to watch TV. Amen. Maybe she thought that her final episode is up before, at least watch it, see what happened, all right, before she take her life. But whatever the urge was, I believe it was God who put it there. Amen. And then when she switched it on, it so happens right time. It was a Kairos moment for her. And what's Kairos in the Greek, right time? It is a seasonable opportunity. It's a favorable, the word opportunity is from the word opportune, a favorable time. Amen? And then I came on. Now, I am very humbled to hear that God wants me to be the one to appear. In spite of some people saying that my doctrine is wrong, but God thought that put this guy down there, his doctrine might save her, and she got saved. So whatever it is, folks, I'm very humbled and complimented the Lord chose that particular episode. Amen? Maybe, you know, you can argue as much as you want, but if you have a testimony like that, share with me about your ministry, about your revelation that you don't agree with me about, never mind. I always say, let the fruits speak for itself. Because our Lord Jesus says, by their fruits, you shall know them. Not by the talk. Amen. Amen? Let Jesus receive all the glory.
Amen.
Amen. God can use anybody. Amen. But I must say that, you know, God does not, when I say God can use anybody, that's the material he can use. Anybody. But then he doesn't let anybody remain anybody. He'll make sure that the person is ready and equipped, fit for the master's use. That word fit for the master's use means what? You have studied. You spend time in the Lord. You hear his voice. Amen? He will choose you. Amen. Can I have a good amen? And God doesn't choose lazy people also. You know, the fishermen were fishing, catching fish, right? Or they were mending their nets. They were doing something. When there's no fish, they mend their net. Amen? To prepare for future harvest. Right. What happened? Jesus passed by and said, follow me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even the tax collector was busy collecting taxes. Matthew or Levi. Right? His name is Levi as well. Jesus came by and said, follow me. He followed Jesus. Elisha was plowing. Amen. On the field. He was plowing with 12 oxen, the Bible says. And then Elijah came and threw the mantle over him. In other words, follow me. You're my successor. See, God does not choose lazy people. God chooses people that are out and about. Yep. Can I have a good amen? Amen? And then he equips you. So this year, as we look at the Word of God, we'll see some insights into what God has for us this year. Today, there are more prophetic stuff that I'll be sharing with you that's going to happen this year. Because one of the manifestations of the Word of Wisdom, by the way, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we can divide them 9, right? 3, 3, 3. Okay, 3, 3, 3. Just remember that. We can call it the knowing gifts, right? To know something. Amen. Or revelation gifts. Then the vocal gifts, there are 3. And then the power gifts, the doing gifts, which are 3. The revelation gifts or the knowing gifts are word of wisdom. And it's an insight, a word. God doesn't give paragraphs. God doesn't give a long discussion. God gives a word about the future. When it's a word about the future, amen, God told Noah, this is going to happen. The flood is coming. Amen. That is a word of wisdom because it's a word about the future. And it prepared Noah and his family. Amen. Word of knowledge is not about the future, but a word about the present. Now, you see me pray for people before, all right? And I say there's someone here with this condition, and I describe the condition, the person got healed completely, right? How do I know? It is a manifestation of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge. Is it a present situation or future? Present. So, word of knowledge has got to do with present. Amen. Then God said to Noah, these are the materials you are to use, the acacia wood. Take acacia wood. Amen. In the original, your King James says, gopher wood, right? So when God told Noah, what kind of wood must I use, God? He says, gopher wood. He says, I know, but before I go for wood, what wood? Gopher wood, Noah. I know, I want to go for wood, but y'all got it. Okay, never mind. Too early in the morning, praise God. So he says, gopher wood, all right? And so gopher wood, otherwise known as acacia wood, is very, it's a indestructible wood. They call it the eternal wood, amen? But it is a wood that lasts for a long, long time. That's the one they use for the tabernacle, also for the Ark of the Covenant. Anyway, that is the word of knowledge. So the revelation gifts, this got to do it this year. Listen, it's coming into your manifestation in your life this year, more than ever. So we have the revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and then we have discerning of spirits. Now we have the discerning of spirits, not just discerning evil spirits. No. Some people are more negatively inclined. Yes, it involves discerning of evil spirits, but also discerning of angels, their presence. Amen. It's a wonderful gift to have. Amen. Because people are swayed and deceived by someone's words. They are swayed and deceived. Even the news today. What is fake news and what is not fake news? What is really, you know, and you can even slant the facts in a way to present an impact that you desire. Amen? But a person of discernment, there's something inside that's scratchy. You will know it. That's the gift of discerning of spirits. That spirit is wrong. Because before any mouth opens, all right, the spirit is activated. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? You can see what is inside. A person is complaining, fault-finding all the time. The person has a critical spirit. Amen? If the person is very, always lustful and lascivious in his jokes and all that, you know he's got a spirit of adultery or lust. All right? So, you know, you can sense that. You can see that. You can. But today, this is a gift that's lost, even among believers. And they are gifts. All these nine are gifts. You don't have to earn it. You only have to receive it. They are not fruit. It doesn't come by cultivation. Doesn't come by development. Doesn't come by progress. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit comes by this means. But gift is just imparted. So someone may have the gift and have a bad character. So sometimes you can manifest the gift in an angry way. There's no humility. There's no fruit of meekness. Right? So we got to have both. Nine fruit of the Spirit, nine gifts of the Spirit. And all the people said, amen. Then we have the vocal gifts. Of course, you all know tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Amen. Many times when I'm preaching, I'm giving word of prophecy. People feel like, the word is for me, or even something about their future, or something that is, wow, you know, I'm going through this now. Amen. And it just comes across. And for me, I love that kind of preaching because, the Holy Spirit lead me to say things sometimes. I mention names sometimes. All right. And it turned out to be something that was needed for that person at that very hour. Right time, right place. Praise God. And then we have this three gifts. They are power gifts. Amen. Doing something. Amen. To know something, the three gifts. To say something. And then to execute, to do something. Power gifts. They are gifts of healings. Plural. The word gift here, the only part of the nine gifts, the only one that has plural gifts of healings. Even healings is plural in the Greek. Gifts of healings. So some people who have this gift, they may have a particular manifestation when they pray for people with cancer. People with cancer get healed. When they pray for people with headache, they don't get healed. Amen. It's a distribution of gifts of healings. I thank God with all the numerous sickness, you know, and all kinds of diseases out there in the world. God has gifts, amen. Plural, of healings, amen. Of different kind of healings. There are people who are, you know, when they pray for people with tumors and all that, they always almost have, amen, a high rate of success in that area. When you pray for something else, it's not so. Amen. So these are, you need to find out if you're someone with the gifts of healing flowing through. You need to find out what is your particular gifts of healing flowing in. Amen. But all of us can flow in it. Amen. Amen. We cannot activate it. We cannot just say, now I want the gift to flow. Now I want it to flow. Amen. Cannot. Right? Because, see my face? If I can, I'll put my hand on my face. Amen. Don't laugh so loud. Look at your face. Amen. All of us have areas that we wish we can activate the gift straight away. No, in your case, the gift of working of miracles. All right? Mine is healing, yours is miracles. Because the next power gift is the gift of working of miracles. Now, this one is not in the area of healing. Healing is healing, but miracles are like supernatural cancellation of your debt. Amen. We've seen that happen to many people in our church. Amen? Praying and the rain supposed to come that day. All the weather forecast is that, and then it departs. That's a miracle. Elijah experienced that. Many of our people have experienced that. Amen. These are miracles. Miracles are things that happen in such a way you can't even explain it. Amen. But it's out of the ordinary. And all the people said, amen. So it's different from healing. Praise God. Amen. Then the last one, of course, to activate all these things, you need the supernatural gift of faith. It's not a faith that you and I have that can be cultivated in the fruit of the Spirit. There's also faith there, but more like faithfulness, that one. But faith here is a supernatural impartation where when you pray for someone, you know that you know that you know. People ask sometimes, Pastor Prince, how do you know? It's quite embarrassing, right? You call someone out and then you talk to the person, you see the person is healed and all that. But what if the person is not healed? Why do you call that person in the first place? Isn't it better than just a prayer, a general prayer, and don't call anybody? Well, at that moment when I call, the gift of faith was in operation. I know that person is healed. Amen? So, Pastor, I'll come to you after the service and you pray for me. I'll pray for you as a believer. Amen? I cannot activate the gift. But when the gift comes, I know that I know that I know that I know. Amen? I can run into hell with a water gun. That kind of faith. Amen? It's a no wavering, no doubt kind of faith. It's that mountain moving faith. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So these are the gifts of the Spirit and they will operate more this year. Look at this. Ecclesiastes 9:11. That date should remind us of something, as well as it's the emergency call of US. And for those of you watching from US, amen, this is your call for help. Even in the book of Psalms, the Psalm of Protection. What was the Psalm? Psalms 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter, the protection of the Almighty, the Shaddai. And all throughout the day, whether it's day or night, amen. He shall surely deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's a psalm of protection that ends with long life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So 9-11, we read that last week, and we're going to show you verse 12. Okay, right after verse 11 is verse 12. Am I right? So notice that verse 12 comes on like this. For man also does not know his time. Okay, I tell you what. Let's read verse 11 first. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise. But we believe it. We believe it. We teach this to our children. If you are not fast, amen, you lose the race. You're not strong, you will lose the battle. Amen. Don't think of battle as just like going to war. There are battles between companies, corporations, right? Even arm wrestling, right? It's friendly, right? But battle as a whole. Nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time, say it, time, and chance happen to them all. Okay, so time is ev in the Hebrew. This is the Hebrew word for time. Many times it's used for favorable time. Sometimes it's used for bad times, yes, but there'll be a qualifying remark before that, okay? An adjective to describe evil time, for example. Then you know it's evil time. But for the most part, it's favorable, okay? Now, in the counterpart, which is the Greek, your Bible, Old Testament is in Hebrew. Your New Testament is in Greek. So the Greek of time, right time, and there's a Greek version also called the Septuagint of the Old Testament. In the Greek, time is kairos. Now, kairos is most frequently used for favorable opportunity. Now, is there also some bad use of kairos? Yes, but like if, it would be, there'll be a qualifying remark there, like evil time. That kind of thing. It will tell you, but very seldom so, all right? Most of the time, it's favorable. Very few moments is used for in a negative way, all right? Just the word barak in Hebrew for blessing. For the most part, is the word barak, baraka. Amen? Barak is blessing, okay? But the barak in a few verses can mean the curse, the reverse. But you don't have to worry. The context will tell you, all right? Just think of barak as blessing. That's for the most part, okay? Are you with me so far? So there's time, right time, and there's kairos, all right, in the Greek for time, and chance. One day I'll teach on this, is the word paga, All right, but at the present moment is the word chance. Happen to them all. Happen here is kara. We touched on kara last week. Amen. We touched on F, kairos, and kara. And like I said, one day I'll teach on paga. But look at this. This is what's going to happen this year. The Lord is saying it's a kairos year. It's a favorable year for all of us. Amen. All right, that doesn't mean the whole year is favorable. It just means that we are entering, God's people is entering. Not the year itself, we are entering. When I say this kind of thing, people of the world say, okay, it's for all of us. It's not for all of us. It's for the people of God. Some people don't even bother to hear the message. Amen. It's for God's people. All right? It's not for people who don't believe that God speaks. That God even exists. Amen. Like the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. So, it's true for God's people. Just like when God sent the plague to Egypt that represents the world. God's people are in Egypt. So how? For example, the swarm of flies. Now, the word flies is in italics. So the swarm there, some people say it's mosquitoes. A swarm of mosquitoes. Some say it's a fly that sucks blood. All right? Whatever it is, the word there, swarm. God sent a swarm across Egypt. But the Bible says, what happened? All right? In that day, I'll set apart the land of Goshen, where God's people, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord. Another plague is the cattle disease. So flies are around you. Amen? So God is saying this year, flies, by the way, are pictures of evil spirits. God is saying, I don't care what evil spirit or powers of darkness is near you. Amen? God will make a distinction. It will influence the people, and issue when they're influenced, they're very depressed. Amen? They're oppressed. But it will not happen to you. There's God's people. And then we come to cattle disease, all right, in Egypt. Their cattle came down with a disease and the cattle died. And this is referring to food, our drink, milk, and our meat, right? So whatever you eat this year, let me show you the verse first. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. All that belongs to the people of God, right? Nothing will die. So there is a separation. So there are bad things happening to the world. Darkness is coming upon this earth. But let's believe God. Make sure, number one, you are a child of God. Amen. Know this, it happens to all of them, you know. Many of them are backslidden. Many of them are not flowing with Moses. Not all of them are perfect. I'm telling you, of course, none of them is perfect. None of them, what I'm saying is that it's like holy or whatever. Amen. None of them could keep the Ten Commandments because it was not yet given. They just have to belong to God. Amen. And they are all God's people. Amen. For us, by spiritual birth, new birth. For them, physical birth. They're the people of God because they are the children of Israel. Okay, the next one. So nothing you eat or drink is going to affect you. Now, the third one is the hail. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. So hailstones will come down from the heavens, from the sky, upon Egypt. Hailstone destroys all their crops, destroys their houses, destroys, they'll be destroyed if they are outside, right? But there's no hailstone in Goshen where the people of God lived. And Goshen in Hebrew means near. Then we have, that's from the sky. So nothing surrounding you, nothing you eat and drink, nothing from up there coming down, amen, heavenward, whatever, will hurt you, will touch you this year. So drop down to the last one. Last one, of course, is the plague on the firstborn. But second last one is darkness, thick darkness. Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven and there was thick darkness. Thick darkness, you cannot see in front. You can't see your hand in front of you. All right? But the Bible says, they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. All the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Amen. So think about it. It was such a darkness that the Egyptians who knew how to, strike a flint together. In those days, they don't have matches. They strike flints together, amen, and get light. Of course, they know how to burn it. Of course. But no flint could give them light. So this light from in the Israeli houses is supernatural. Because if it's not supernatural, the Egyptians would find recourse to it as well. It was supernatural. Listen, child of God, this year, when darkness come upon families and values are all upside down and people don't care anymore, movies don't care about restrictions anymore, they don't care about, you know, whether your child is too young. I was watching an innocent YouTube program about a singer that my son likes, right? And his life story and all that. And he's famous among the younger ones and all that. And just an old song that was revived back. And all of a sudden, this guy used profanity. And I had to stop it because I look at my son and I feel so sad because I thought it was an innocent kind of thing. And the guy used profanity. I lost all my respect for him. And I told Justin, that's a bad word. Don't use that word. It's a bad word. And people who lose control use that word. Amen? It's not people who are in control. It's not strong people that use that word. Weak people use that word. And so the world is like that, but we'll have light in our dwellings. Amen? We have light in our dwellings. I thank God that Justin didn't watch it by himself. Right time, right place. Father and son was there. So I was there to instruct. I was there to help. Amen? Praise the Lord. You will have light in your dwellings. Amen. Light means always, you know, you don't have to talk so much. Amen? You can just say a word and there'll be light in the heart of your teenager. There'll be light in the heart of your boy. There'll be light in the heart of your daughter. Amen. Light means revelation. Light, the supernatural light. This is not natural light, or else Egyptians will make that light as well happen in their dwelling place. This is going to happen. Amen. Amen. In the year 2023. That's why this is verse 23. Yes. Amen. Oh, Pastor, chapter and verse, I told you last week already. God has His way of just, why not? He can do it. Right? Praise God. Amen. Go back to Ecclesiastes 9:11. So it says here, time, et and kairos, Hebrew and Greek, and chance happen to them all. Now we go to the next verse. But there are people. Man also does not know his time. Again, et and kairos. In the Greek, it is kairos. They do not know God's favorable time. And when they do not know God's favorable time, guess what? They're like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of man are snared in an evil time. So with that evil F, there's always an word evil to qualify it. So you know it's not, you know, it becomes an evil time because they don't take advantage. Then the Bible says that now is the time of salvation. Amen. By the way, the word time, kairos. Now is the kairos of salvation. Amen. There's no right time to be safe. Amen. Get safe as soon as you can. Amen. Jesus seldom tell people. In fact, He tell people, come to Me, I'll give you rest. He's a preacher of rest. Amen. Because He finished all the work for us. But there's one time He tells you, make haste. Amen. What is that? To Zacchaeus, come down, make haste. Make haste. Why? Make haste to be saved. Don't let one moment pass by. If you're not safe, your heart should stop beating and you step into a Christless eternity. Amen. That's gone. There's no more chance after that. Amen. Amen. Make haste to be safe. And all the people said, amen. So this is you cannot, with all your boastings and your qualifications and your erudite learning, you cannot put yourself in the right place in the right time to avoid tragedy. Amen. Yeah. Accidents can happen on the road. People die through accidents on the road. All right, and sometimes, many a times also, it is not because of your negligence, it is the other person's negligence. We need the Lord to put us at the right place at the right time. You can be the smartest and the wisest man in Singapore, all right, and somebody else kill you on the road. It's not your fault. Let's go back to time and chance, 9/11. I'm going to show you the Hebrew. I'm going to show you something very precious that is very unique and very dear to our church heart. For those of you who have been with me for many years, you know that I shared with you about Jesus has a signature in the Bible called Aleph Tav. Amen. Why Aleph Tav? Now, your English alphabet starts with, come on children, come on class, A to Z for our American friends. Amen. You got to help America because America says running with the ball is football. Amen. We say this is football. So they'll say Z, we'll say Z. A to Z. Amen. A to Z. Right? Now, in Greek, what is it? Alpha. You all know this. The last one is Omega. Very good. Hebrew. First letter is Aleph. Last one is Tav. Amen. By the way, Hebrew letters have pictures as well as numbers. Aleph is number one. In other words, in Hebrew, they don't write one. There's no numeral in Hebrew. They use the letter as a number. Each letter symbolizes a number. So, Aleph is one. Get it? Amen? It's also a picture. Aleph is like an ox. Aleph is a leader. Aleph is a sacrificial ox. Amen? Tav. Tav is actually, you know how they draw the cross, the Tav last time? A cross many years ago. It's like this. The sacrificial ox on the cross. That's the signature of Jesus. The first letter and the last letter joined together, Aleph Tav. I'm going to show you Genesis 1:1. All right, we have this very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is how it goes. Because traditional Chinese, it reads from right to left. The older you go back, right, to civilization and all that, they read from right to left. Hebrew is right to left. Amen? I don't know why people change all the time. Like, why can't we all just drive on the right side of the road? You know what I'm saying? Why must change here, go to America, change, then go to Europe, change? Why can't we just all just agree? Amen? That driving on the left side is right. Amen? All right, so reading from right to left in the beginning, Bereshit bara Elohim et Hashemayim ve'et ha'eretz. Notice what is not translated. By the way, notice it makes a menorah. Exactly seven words, number of perfection, in the very first verse of the Bible in Hebrew. Three here, three here. The middle one is untranslated. It is the word Aleph Tav. Reading from right to left, Aleph is like an N, right? Aleph Tav. It's the signature of Jesus because, why I say signature of Jesus? When Jesus appeared to John, his apostle, his disciple, remember, on the island of Patmos, to give him the book of Revelation. Amen. To give him the revelation for the book of Revelation. You know what? Jesus called himself what? Fear not, John. I am the Alpha and Omega. Why Alpha and Omega? That is because your New Testament is in Greek, right? And in your King James, they leave it there, Alpha and Omega. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last letter. Amen. I'm the first word in your life and I'm the last word in your life. Amen. Amen. Professionals don't have the last word. Your condition in your body, no one has the last word. Amen. All right? You sought second advice? Amen. Have you sought my advice? Amen. Amen. I have the first word and the last word. Okay, so they translate that from the Greek. So they put Alpha and Omega. But he's talking to a fellow Jew. They wouldn't be speaking Greek. He would speak to him in Hebrew. And this is what he would say. John, I am Aleph and I am Tav. I am Aleph Tav. Straight away, the mystery is revealed. Because you know why? It's untranslated. Many, 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 many years ago, I went to Israel, one of my first times in Israel, and I asked our guide, why is this verse in Hebrew, that middle word, not translated? He told me, well, it's a sign. It's a sign of something, a symbol, you know, a sign. I still don't know. To tell me something is a symbol of what? A sign of what? All right? Until the Lord showed me that Jesus, and what I shared with you just now, where I've spoken Hebrew, I am Aleph and I'm Tav. The first letter and the last letter. So he put his signature there. That means who created the heavens and the earth? All things, but the Bible says all things were made by Christ. And nothing was made that wasn't made. And he came into the world. Amen. Became flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says everything is held together by Christ. Not just created, but held together. When you have Him in your very being, hallelujah, when Christ is in you, He holds you together, spirit, soul, and body. He's in your marriage, He holds you together. Amen. In a world that is trying to push everything apart, even split you apart. Amen. Until you're confused. Okay. So, go back to Ecclesiastes 9:11. We have time and chance happened to them all. In this entire passage, Jesus put his signature there. That's not translated. Time and chance happened to them all. It's actually spelled like this. But time and chance happened, Aleph Taf, to them all. That means what? He makes time and chance happen to you. Can I have a good amen? He makes time and chance happen to you. Can I have a good amen, church? Now, the Jewish people, the Jewish rabbis especially, they say that for every year, God has a theme. Even for their people. Even until today, they say that. And the way you look at the theme, they said something is found in the Hebrew calendar for that year, in the Hebrew year. And you know what's the Hebrew year this year? Right? 5-7. 5-7 is like 1-9. Let's say you're born in 1973. 1973. You know, the 1-9 is 5-7 for them. So for them, this year is 5-7-8-3. This year is 5-7-8-3. Okay? 5-7-8-3. Say 5-7-8-3. So the Jewish rabbis, this is not from me, this is the Jewish rabbis. Okay, this is what they say. But I'll share with you what the Lord showed me, okay? Are you ready? They say that ignore the 5-7 because that tells you the period of the, you know, that time, those years that you are in. All right, but focus on the last two digits, 8-3. All right, because last year was 8-2, then the year before 8-1. And remember what I told you? That in Hebrew, there's no numbers. It is the letter, right? You follow me? Like the word Yud is number 10, right? He is what? Number what? 5. Very good, very good. God took Abraham's name, right? Abram has no He. God took his name, Yud, He, Vav, He, one of the He, his name. He put in Abram. Abram became successful and fruitful and multiplied. He became Abraham. Sarai, his wife, her name has no He, right? Her name has a Yud, which is 10, representing the law. Amen. God took away the He, and God put his next He, Yud, He, Vav, He, his name Yahweh. He put his He in Sarai's name, and Sarah became a mother the very next year. And her name means princess. Amen. So, it's very important. I want this church to be a revelation addict. I don't want you just, I'm not interested, you know, Pastor Prince, just the superficial reading. I know the story of David. I know the story of Ruth. I want you to go into the meat and the fatness and the marrow and bring it out. Amen. And you'll do it also in your time with the Lord. Amen. Amen. This year, let's get cracking into the Word of God. Let's feed on the Word of God. Let's delight our soul in fatness. Amen. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing. The Word of God is so rich. Amen. So he put his signature there. Okay, now watch this. 5-7-8-3. All right, 83. Now, number 80 is represented by pay. Pay. Pay is your mouth. Pay. Say pay. Okay, so 80 is pay. 3 is your, you know, you say Aleph. First letter is Aleph. Aleph, Bet, Gimel. Gimel is 3. Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, Bethlehem, house. The picture is a house. Bet, 3 is Gimel. Gimel. Gimel is 3. So this is Gimel. Pe, Gimel, reading from right to left. Pe, Gimel. And what does it spell? Peg. Until now, I've not heard any Jewish rabbis expound on the fig. So far, when I heard the fig, right, that this spells fig, I tell you what happened to me. Straight away, the Lord brought one verse because I've been studying this particular book in the Bible, and it's the only time peg appears, green fig. All right? Just hold your horses. You'll see what you got to do with this year. All right? Pig, a peg, peg, peg. All right? Peg. Say peg. Now, green fig. It's not te'ana. Te'ana is fig, the ripe fig. This is green fig. It is peg. All right? Pe. Pe, gimel. Put together, peg. All right? Which is actually the green fig. And do you know where it appears? Only one place. The first mention is the last mention. In the entire Old Testament, it appears only in one place. All right? And this came from the Lord to me, and I've been keeping it since last year. Because every time I want to share it, I find that something else happens. Amen? And but finally, the time has come. So those who attend part one, never attend part two, they missed out. You know? Right? By a peg. Okay. Now, green fig, very important, green fig. Why is this important? Because, I'm going to show you something. Have you ever read the portion where Jesus came in the story of Jesus cursing the fig tree? Remember, then he taught his disciples' faith? All right, now watch this. In Mark 11, it's from Mark 11. The next day when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, it was not the kairos for figs. Kairos describes harvest. That's the, how many agree that in every in all the stages of growth, the best favorable part is your harvest. It was not the kairos for figs, not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said, by the way, nowadays in Singapore, there's a whole lot of kairos for durians, it seems. I heard that they're oversupply. All right? You don't know where to put your supply of durians, okay? My place is quite good. I love durians. Amen. In response, Jesus said to it, but Pastor, it's a thorny fruit. We are redeemed from the curse. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you. So Jesus cursed the fig tree, right? Jesus cursed the fig tree and his disciples heard it. Of course, the next day, the lesson was how to use faith in your spoken words. Yes, we understand that. But can I ask you a question? Ever wondered why did Jesus curse the fig tree? He came to the tree hoping to find what? Fruits, right? He was hungry. He came to see, he would find something on it. Doesn't it say what? When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. All right? It was not a season of figs. So it wasn't a season of figs. Why would he curse the fig tree? Just let you know, our Lord never loses temper. Don't think that he lost temper. All right? Don't think he doesn't know. Okay? There's a lesson in all these things. You see, it's good that we study, we go to Israel, we learn the traditions and all that, because a fig tree that just passed the winter season, and in the spring, the fruit of the fig, by the way, will come forth. Okay? The ripened fruit. But in between, there's a fruit that comes out even during winter, before spring. It's called peg. That's why it's called green fig. So if a green fig appears on a tree, not seasoned for figs yet, the season will be around like spring. You know what's going to happen? If there's a green fig, it can be eaten, by the way. Just like some of your fruits, right? It is green before it's red. Even green is a bit sour usually compared to sweet when it's red. All right? You can eat it, but it's not the season of figs yet. It's an early, it's a bikurim. It is a tithe. It's the first fruit of what is to come. Are you listening, people? All right? So Jesus was looking for that, because if any tree has a peg, a green fig, it's a guarantee that tree will be fruitful in the season. But you can't find even one fig, green peg, a green fig, that means there'll be no harvest. So Jesus came to the fig tree, and all the tree have more than one time the word leaves, 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 fig tree, leaves, fig, leaves. First mention of fig leaves, man tried to cover himself with fig leaves, Adam and Eve. Fig leaves, the Bible says, is a picture of man trying to cover himself with their works, their self-righteousness. That's the biggest hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm quite okay. I don't need Jesus. I'm not lost. I can save myself. I'm doing good. I'm quite a good man. I'm not like the man down there. Don't compare yourself with the man down there. Compare yourself with God. That's God's standard. So the thing is that, you know, it's the very thing that Jesus cursed. He cursed that belief in self-righteousness as your salvation. I want to go further in telling people that unless you curse, the Lord spoke to me one time, unless you curse self-righteousness in your life, you wouldn't see the faith of God flow in your life. All my righteousness is Jesus. He is my righteousness. I have no self-righteousness. Amen. Amen. And that's the essence of the gospel of grace. Amen. Amen. The biggest, the hardest thing that people can repent from sin, not the hardest thing is to repent of self-righteousness. They still want self to, you know, they still look to self as some good in self. And that's why they're not saved. Okay? So, you follow the story so far? Okay. So, pack appears only in the Old Testament. One time. Only one time. First mention, last mention also. And because I when I heard pack, I spoke to my friend in Israel. And he told me, yeah, eight trees, pack, which is the green fig, you know. But he didn't tell me anything else after that. But for me, because I've been reading this particular book, which I enjoy a lot, which you heard me share last week also, Song of Songs, something my spirit jumped. Let's go to it right now, shall we? See what God has for this year. All right, this Song of Songs 2, my beloved spoke. Now, the bride, you see, the church is the bride. Do you know why God calls you the bride? The bride? Hello? Look at me. Because you are loved. You in fact one verse in Song of Songs, the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus looks at the church. And the church can be corporate and the church can be individual. He looks at the church and says, your eye, just one eye, one look from you, my heart is taken. You have stolen my heart. Now don't go away. Lest we sing on moonlight day. We were sailing along on moonlight day. Do you don't like it? Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I thought you all liked that hymn. He says, one look from you. I love that one. One look from you, you ravish my heart. One translation said, you ravish my heart. Do we really believe it that when we look to the Lord, His heart is ravished? Don't ask me why, but Pastor, I'm sure in His eyes I'm ugly. Don't you ever say that to Him. He keep on calling you, oh my beloved, there is no spot in you. Amen. In the Song of Songs. It's so good. It's so good. It starts off with saying, chapter 1, verse 1 says, let Him kiss me, the kisses of His mouth. Or verse 2, it says, let Him kiss me. What is that? I want a personal experience of His love. I don't want hear Pastor Prince's experience. I want to have my own. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Kiss me, close proximity, experience. Have you been kissed? Noah. Right time. Right time, right place. Okay? Okay. The pastors cannot do that for you, okay? The healing room is for the healing room, not for to demonstrate, okay? God will give you your husband at the right time, at the right place. Have you noticed that many of the right time, right place illustrations with Ruth meeting Boaz at the right time, at the right place is all got to do with relationships, finding your life partner, as well as Abraham's servant at the well to find a bride for Isaac. So the Lord puts you at the bride, and it's beautiful. There's a verse that says in Isaiah, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride. It's not like the husband rejoices over the wife. Now, we should maintain that bridal love all the way, right? But you see, why God didn't say as a husband rejoice over the wife? Because God knows mankind. The illustration doesn't say, oh, my wife, okay, now normal, la, I love her, la. She know I love her, she know I love him, la, you know, yeah. When was the last time you say it? 10 years ago, la. But she know I know, la, you know. It is valid until it's revoked, la. But it's valid until now, la. Don't have to say every day one. All right, why am I say every day? But bridal love is like you look at her. You can't wait to be alone. I let all this crowd go home, like you all. You all hang around for what? Amen? Give your feet, you all give you a lot of food and all that. You all still hang around inside the bridal chamber. Hey, go home. Amen? Amen? It's that kind of love. It's like passion. There's the heart is beating. Your heart is ravished. And it says like this, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so the Lord your God rejoices over you. Oh, man. I pray that this year you will experience the love of Christ like you have never experienced before. Amen. Because when you experience the love of Christ, you'll be at the right place at the right time. Okay? You with me so far? Okay, so Song of Songs, the beloved, the bride is talking about her beloved, Jesus. All right, you are talking about Jesus. It can be applied individually as well as corporately as the church. We are all the bride of Christ. Amen. And you are beautiful in His eyes. He puts His comeliness on you and say, you are beautiful. You are so beautiful to me. Yeah. Amen. That's how He feels towards you. You are so beautiful in the Lord's eyes. I mean, to say there's no spot in you. Wow, 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 wow. I don't know if I can take it, but you must take it. Don't be like that kind of Singaporean. No la, no la, no la, no la. You want this cake or not? No la, no la. Finally, you say, okay, right? Or they get angry, you know? You should go on some more. You tell me how many times you don't want one. Are you a liar? No, you must go on. And then finally say, no la. Okay, maybe a bit la, you know? Stop that nonsense. Say thank you very much and eat it. No wonder you got prom between Grace. Yeah, I love you. No, you don't love me, la. I'm very bad one. I love you. There's no spot. Why no spot? Go here, go here, go here, go here, 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 go spot. You know what? I should stop letting Pastor Mark lay hands on me. Really, I'm beginning to sound like him. My beloved spoke and said to me. So the Lord spoke to me and said, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Could this be a reference to rapture this year? We don't know. But for sure, throughout this year, He's telling you, come up to a higher place. The air is better, fresher. Come up to where I am. Rise up, my love. Rise up from your depression. Rise up from your doldrums and your discouragement. Rise up to where I am. Okay, I'm going to show you how to rise up in the world. Okay, rise up, my love. He calls you my love. Amen. My fair one. That's my beautiful one. And come away. For lo, the winter is past. I love this poetry. It's like He speaks in poetry. You know when you're in love, you speak in poetry? Amen. Like I said before, you look at a girl, you don't say, aye, how come your cheek's so pale? I'm very terrible and so pale and all. All right. In Shakespeare, it's like, how chance, my love, the roses there do fade so fast. Sorry, Pastor. Pale is paler. No. Gentle. How chance the roses there do fade so fast? Because you have not been watering it, my dear. You have not been watering it. That's how you respond. Amen? Then you say, let him kiss me. Okay, never mind. All right. For husband and wife, this is a marriage seminar. Amen? Come on. Lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. So whatever it is, I believe is talking. I'm going to show you. You say, Pastor Prem, why are you saying that this refers to this year? I'll come to it. Be patient. Amen. I'm going to show you. He's talking to you about coming to a higher place. And He's telling you whatever winter you had in 2022, whatever seasons of bad days, dark days, He's telling you, lo, the winter is past. Yeah, and only that, the rain is over and gone. And He goes on to say, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. Hey, time, F and Kairos here. The time of singing has come. The voice of the dove. Who is the dove? A symbol of? What is the dove a symbol of? The Holy Spirit. The voice. You are starting to hear His voice. The voice of the dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs in the Hebrew. This is the only place it appears. Pag! There's a clue that this year is called Pag. And the only verse that has the word Pag in the entire Old Testament in Hebrew is this one, this portion. He's telling you that Jesus cursed the fig tree because it wasn't the season for figs. But He is saying, the fig tree is putting forth pag. Amen. Which means what? The tree will be completely fruitful. What about my winter? What about my darkness? Those bad days? Lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers are blooming. It's a time of singing. There's one thing I would love for you to come to be with all of us instead of online. Because when you sing alone online, it's not the same. It's really so low, you know. It's a low place. The Lord is saying, rise up. It's so low, so low also. Rise up, my love. You know, you say that, but online, we're still gathering together. I'm not forcing the assembling. Technically, you can argue that, but actually, when I told you last year, the Lord corrected me in this, in saying that kind of thing, because the Lord showed me that in more places than one in the New Testament, they were all gathered in one place. The day of Pentecost. Another place. When you all come together in one place, the Lord's Supper, when you come together in one place, I understand that for a season, we had to go online. I understand because of COVID, but you all know it's not a natural season. But we are back together. There's something about the corporate anointing, being here, worshiping together during the time of singing, that does something that being at home alone doesn't. Amen? The fig tree puts forth a green fig, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Come away. Could it be also there's a little bit of, besides telling us to come to a higher place, to forget the past and be with Him, could there be an allusion to the rapture? No one knows the day, nor the time, nor the hour. No one knows when the rapture will happen. But could it be an allusion there? I leave that with you. But for sure, it's telling us to go to a higher place. Can I have a good amen? Now, how do I go to a higher place, Pastor? Well, let's go to Genesis 24. And are y'all with understanding so far? So when Jesus came, He was looking for what? The green figs, which is a guarantee of the harvest to come. But there was only fig leaf, a show of righteousness, a pretense, but no fruit. Amen? That's what He cursed. So we go to Genesis 24 because we shared last week about Genesis 24, Abraham's servant. It's a very beautiful story. You know that Genesis 22 is about the father's love for the son. The first mention of love in the Bible, I said last week, every time the law of there's a law of first mention applies to any first mention of a subject in the Bible, there's something very significant for us to take note of. Amen? Anytime a subject is mentioned for the first time. Love, the first mention of love is Genesis 22. God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son that you love. So the first love is father's love for the son. And the whole picture there is what? Abraham's love for Isaac? Yes, but not just that. It's more than that. It's about the father's love for his son, Jesus. Amen? 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 The father's love for his son. And how Isaac carried the wood on the back. Jesus carried the cross on the back. They went to, Isaac went to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, the highest place of Mount Moriah is Mount Calvary. It's the same range of mountain. Abraham, before he plunged, the Lord stopped him. And then he looked behind Mount Calvary. He saw a vision. That's why it's called Moriah. Moriah means I saw the Lord provide. All right? The word seeing is there. Yere, to see. The Lord will see. If I say, I'll see to it, means I'll provide for you. The idea of providence is in the seeing. Abraham saw Jesus. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They say, you're not yet 50 years old. You've seen Abraham? They missed it. He didn't say, I saw Abraham. Because the lesser see the greater. No, Abraham saw me. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Before Abraham was, I am. Amen? Okay, that is chapter 22 of Genesis. The love of the father for the son. Second mention of love is Genesis 24. Abraham's servant looking for a bride for the master's son. Who is his master? Who is the unnamed servant? Some people say Eliezer and all that. But over here, he's not mentioned at all. Unnamed. Why? The Holy Spirit has come, amen, to be the executor of the father's business. Amen. He's come to prepare a bride. And it's been going on for 2,000 years. And that's why this is the longest chapter, Genesis 24, in the entire book of Genesis. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit seeking for a bride for the heavenly Isaac, our Lord Jesus. So the second mention of love is found in the very last verse of this long chapter, verse 67, Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Second mention in the Bible. First one is father's love for the son. Second one is the son's love for his bride. Jesus' love for all of you. Focus on this love. Focus on this love. First, you must know the father's love for the son. And you need to know that, because the more higher your thoughts are about the father's love for the son, the more you feel love, because the father gave up his son that he loved for you. Amen. The father loved the son. I look at Justin. You know, Justin just had with Justin. Sometimes he's naughty, but I still love him. I correct him, but I still love him. And it's a small sampling. Your love for your son. Small sampling of his love for his son. Amen. He gave up his son for you because he loved you. And then the son loves you. It takes some places, it takes, if we say Christ died for the world, yes, but there's also in the Bible, in more than one place, Christ gave himself up for the church. He gave himself for the church that he might cleanse her with the washing of water of the word. Gave himself for the church. So church, in God's mind, is the most successful, powerful, many gifted, many membered, all right? It's not an organization, an eternal, I don't know what to use the word, organization is not the right word. Community, it is not a building, but the devil wants to make it a building. The idea of old, traditional, filled with boring people. Look at you. I can't imagine how they can say that you are boring. Amen? You know, what they do out there is boring. A lot of things that they are doing is really, really boring. You mean this is bread for you? This is really fun? We are looking into the eternity. They cannot even fathom eternity. We are living for eternity. And this organization called the church is for all eternity. It's going to rule the universe with Christ. Now, it's lopsided. Amen? We are peripheral. The world is trying to make its conquests and doing all these, hedonistic pleasures and looking at us, like, oh, you guys are so old-fashioned, all that. One, when Jesus comes back, whoop, the whole thing changes. Jesus rules. And the church is the main agenda. Amen. The church will rule with Jesus. You don't visit Israel now? You have to then. Because they say all the nations will come and visit him. Where will he be? In Jerusalem. And that's why it's hotly contested. Real estate in the world. Because the enemy knows Jesus is returning there to rule. All right? Even the world, they will not put Jerusalem there. They put London, Paris, New York. All this fashion or whatever. That's their value system. God says Jerusalem. Amen. Now, Jerusalem, you look at it, very religious and, you know, the kind of thing. The Jerusalem that God has is a heavenly Jerusalem that will come down, the Bible says, on earth. And we'll be the citizens of it. Amen? So, now we're in Genesis 24. I'll close with this. Genesis 24 is about Jesus and the church. The Holy Spirit goes out to find a bride for Jesus, for the son, Abraham's son. And the first mention of Kara is here. Genesis 24, the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods are in his hands. I feel like telling you real fast. Okay? I see a lot of nuggets. I must tell you one. Okay, no. Then I look at the time for a while, you know. Then I'm a bit concerned for you all. But I'll tell you real fast, okay? Even like this, I get this revelation. Servant took 10 of his master's camels, 10 camels. But the next line says, all his master's goods, Abraham's prosperity, and goods were in his hand. But he only took 10 camels. But all his master's goods were in his hands. God takes 10 as a whole. For God, 10 is a whole. That's why we tithe. The world doesn't understand this. All right? They'll make fun of churches that do that kind of thing. Whatever it is. Even some Christians don't understand this. The 10, when you give the 10, you say, oh, we give God everything. No. God says the 10 is everything. So 10 represent all. Can you see that? And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Notice the word women, plural. So women are supposed to be there. But you know the story? God stopped all the women for some reason. Only one woman came out. God's choice. So even before he prayed the prayer, you must understand one thing. Even before you pray for the kara, right time, right place, even before you pray for success and favor, God already arranged already. Because the Bible says, before he finished talking, she appeared. That means she must have made a journey already before he was praying. This year, the Lord told me, many of you have experienced this. He told me many of you have experienced this. So when I say this, you all will understand what I'm saying. Many of you, before you call, he answers. Sometimes you say, I'm going to pray about this. Okay, I'm busy now. I'm going to pray about that. Then before you know it, answer came ready. Wow. You didn't even have to pray. God says, you'll see more and more of this year. Amen. All right, Isaiah, the promise in Isaiah. It shall come to pass, yes, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. So he prayed a prayer. He said, oh Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me what? Success this day. And the word success here is the word kara, which is the same word as time and chance happen to them all. It's a successful happening. It is a favorable happening. Amen? Do you get it? It is orchestrated happening. And a divinely orchestrated happening. He prayed for success. He didn't even know he was being led to pray for right time, right place. All right? Because God already arranging the right time, right place. And show hasid, show kindness, hasid, to my master Abraham. That's the word grace in the Hebrew, hasid. So the first time kara, the word kara appears, it is here. The first time hasid appears, all right? The first time hasid appears, not here, but I'm getting hit on myself. The first time hasid and kara appears together is here, which tells us that to be at the right place at the right time, you need God's grace. God's unearned, undeserved favor. But there's something about hasid. Hasid appears earlier in the story of Lot, but the first time something to do with hasid appears is found here. You find that when you drop down in verse 27, Abraham's servant worshipped the Lord when he realized that the right woman came out. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth. Chesed ve'emet. This is the first occurrence. Why is that important, Pastor? Do you know what is this in the Greek? Grace and truth. Literally. In the Greek, in John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This is chesed ve'emet. If a Hebrew is writing that, he would say grace and truth. Chesed ve'emet. And chesed ve'emet came for the first time in the Bible, first occurrence here, in the story of Jesus and the church. You cannot find true grace outside the church. You cannot find success outside the church. In other words, be planted in the church. If God gives you success, even financial success or in your career, whatever, it is for the purpose of enlarging, creating, adding more to the church. It's about salvation. It's about the gospel going stronger, farther, deeper, greater into the lives of people. Amen. All over the world. Amen. It's not about you, me, my family, and us all. That's all. No more. It's all about greater purpose. Amen. And guess when God put the first mention of kara, right time, right place, the first mention of chesed ve'emet, true grace, all in the chapter, the longest chapter in Genesis about Jesus and the church. Amen. You cannot like, my career comes first. Church, I go lah. Once a while, I go lah. You won't see kara, you won't see. Because why? There's a purpose that all this is mentioned here for the first time. Are you with me so far? Amen. Another thing, kara, right time, right place. I mean, logically, right time, right place gives you what? Success. Right? Yep. Right? But then, later on, when he asks, you see what happened after this? No, real quick, go back to the part, verse 21. And the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. The first mention of prosperity, prosperous, is found here. Saliak. You know, Joshua 1:8, you make your way Saliak prosperous. Amen. Psalms 1, the meditator on God's word, whatever he doeth shall prosper, Saliak. But the first mention of Saliak is here about Jesus and his church. And notice that Saliak is a journey. Success is a journey. By the way, in the Greek version of this verse, Septuagint, it says, instead of Saliak, the Hebrew, it says, Yoadao. Yoadao is used in 3 John 2. Beloved, show 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, Yoadao, and be in health, even as your soul prospereth, Yoadao. And Yoadao is used, go back to the verse again, Yoadao is used in this verse in Genesis 24, in the Greek. First mention. So the first mention is what? What's the meaning of Yoadao? In the Greek, it says to grant a prosperous and expeditious journey. To prosper, be successful. Notice the very first mention is a prosperous journey. Amen. And go back to the first mention. The word journey is there. All right? He was wondering whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. Friend, look up here. Look up here. Don't wait for an event to happen. Then you say, I'm prosperous. Yes, I made it. I achieved my goal. I'm a success. Goals and prosperity is not the destination. It is the journey. To God, if you learn to enjoy where you are, even times are tough, learn to enjoy where you are while you are going towards your destination, your goal and all that. That to God is success. And if you live like that, you will see your goals come to pass. You will see that destination because you're already on the right path, the expeditious journey, the prosperous journey. Amen. Like the servant of Abraham says, my journey, is it prosperous or not? When he saw what happened to Rebecca. And then the very next thing, it says in the next verse, are you enjoying this? Yes. I'm going quite deep. You know, y'all can understand. It's amazing. Which church are you from? I must compliment your pastor. Pastor Mark, Pastor Lawrence, Pastor Gabriel, all your pastors. I as a guest speaker, I've never spoken to a church where people respond like this. Amen. Before I say, you answer it. Before they call. Amen. Watch this, right? See what happened? So, has the Lord made my way prosperous? Drop down. Verse 22. Right, so it was when the camels had finished drinking that a man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel. In those days, it's very precious. All right, he gave the girl a nose ring and took two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? Now, these two things, I was meditating on this and God spoke to me about this year. God says, we have seen vocal gifts, plentiful, all over the church, all over the world. Tongues, interpreting of tongues, and prophecy. But what we don't see often is the revelation gifts. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and the power gifts. Healings, miracles, and faith. Amen. This year, we'll see more of it. How do I know? Because the Lord planted us all in this chapter, and we'll show you where it appears. So it was when the camels had finished drinking, the man took a golden nose ring, weighing half a shekel, half a shekel, half a shekel. What is that? This is the first mention of half a shekel. But later on, during the time of Moses, God told Moses, pick from every child of Israel, everyone will give a half a shekel coin. All right, as a picture that is an atonement money. It's called atonement money. Now, you can't buy salvation and money. Everyone, rich or poor, must give half a shekel. So it's not the money itself. It is the idea that you are bought. Amen. See, you are lost in the slave market. We are all bought. Never forget you are bought. Don't be, I'm so arrogant to think that you're a self-made man. You were bought out of a slave market of sin, darkness. You were in the throes of Satan's grip and he bought you out. Your body is the temple of God. God bought it. Don't use it for the devil. Don't use it for you know, just hedonistic pursuits. And your body is the temple of God.
Amen.
You're bought, spirit, soul, and body. That's why even sickness don't have a right to touch God's temple. Amen. You are bought by the blood of Jesus. So half a shekel first appears with the half a shekel atonement money. It's the idea of redemption. knows gifts. Now, real quick, I'm going to tell you, Isaiah 11 talks about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, that is the revelation gifts. The Spirit of counsel and might, the power gifts. And the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, that's the utterance gift. And the next verse says, and he will make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Stop. What is a quick understanding? Check in the Hebrew. Quick understanding is quick smell, scent. Your nose is used for discernment. In the Hebrew mind, nose, he'll be of quick smell in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reproof after the hearing of his ears. Why? He's a man of discernment, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus. So likewise, nose gift is not something you cultivate. These are gifts, the revelation gifts. People who have a problem smelling can't tell good or bad. They can smell a rat and can't say, I smell a rat. In fact, priests are not supposed to have damaged nose. Actually, the Bible says flat nose. Damaged nose. If their nose, they cannot smell, they cannot be priests. In the Old Testament, aren't you glad? All right? Now, it's not physical today. It's the idea of discernment. As God's people, we must be able to discern. What is profane? What is evil? What is good? What is holy? What is whole even? What is precious? What is healthful? Health-giving. Amen. So we are beset by all kinds of television shows and social media bombardment into our family, our children, and all that. We need to have discernment. Amen. This will come to the church. The nose ring is half shekel. That means what? It's bought by redemption. And then the two bracelets for her wrist. Your wrist is just what? She just watered 10 camels. Each camel minimum can drink 30 gallons. Imagine that. 30 to 50 gallons in minutes. And she watered, fed them until they drunk. 10 camels with her hands. Right? Power gifts. 10 shekels, both 5 shekels, 5 shekels. Grace, grace. Gifts of healing. Gifts of working on miracles. Gift of faith. These are the ones that's lacking. The vocal gifts are abundant in the church today. It's this one that's lacking. It's going to come to Rebecca. It's going to come to the church this year. This is what the Lord said to me. Are you with me so far? Now, how do I come to the place, Pastor, that this year, is there one thing I can do? Yes. Real quick, last part. Few verses only. Last part. Let you go. Okay? I must postpone for part 3. I must postpone to part 3. All right. Luke 10, real fast. Luke 10. Now it happened as they went, they entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. All right. And the word heard is imperfect tense, which means you kept on hearing his word. But the sister, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, distracted here means divided into many portions. Like, I got to send to this. I got to do this. I got to do this. It's a lot. The Greek word there means she's divided, being pulled in different directions. Have you been distracted like that? That's what happens when you watch online at home. All right? Church, when you come down here, it's just that a corporate anointing helps you focus. Amen. Lord, do you not care? She blamed the Lord and then blamed the sister that my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. Wow. Welcome him at first, then now tell him this. Now watch this. I'll end with this. You know, there's a very short portion. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Only one thing. You are troubled about what? Many things. You are careful, you are worried, you are troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. You are troubled about many things. My children's health, their studies, my husband's career, all this and that, all my future, my days, my boss, and a lot of areas. And then there's a part, I need to spend time with the Lord. I've not been spending time with the Lord. That's also something you worry about. But then, there's one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Literally, is the word. Chose is like, take out of many, she chose one. Of all the things you need to worry about, one thing you need to focus on, that part I mentioned last, to spend time in the Word, that's your part. Amen. If you take care of that, that's one thing that's needed. And the word needed is, it's of necessity. It is something you cannot go without every day. You say, I'm too busy for the Word. Then you know something? You'll be very, very, very busy. Because the Word is what puts you at the right place at the right time. Amen. Receiving from Jesus. Amen. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Not by the devil, not by anyone else, not by all the distractions around her. Amen. It will not be taken away from her. Even when she doesn't know it, because it's in the passive. The voice of the passive is not the active voice. It will not be taken even when she doesn't know it. She's not actively trying to hold on to it. She's just hearing, and no powers is allowed to take it from her. So Jesus says, choose that portion every day. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Yes. Why Isaiah 55 verse 2 says, why you spend money for that which is not bread? Why pursue things, your labor for that which does not satisfy? It says, listen to me. You hearken diligently unto me and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Do you have that verse? Fatness. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Yes. Today, have you got some fatness from God's word? Huh? Fatness of God's word. See what happened in Job? Job says, when I wash my steps with butter. You know how you get butter? The word of God is, the milk is a picture of God's word, right? But butter is the fat. When you just don't want superficial reading of the Bible. You want the fat. Amen. And when you wash your steps with butter, the rock, Jesus, will pour you out rivers of oil. Rivers of anointing. Amen. Anointing! Anointing for your ministry, anointing for your career, anointing for parenting, anointing for every area of your life. Amen. No oil, crates. No oil. Oil is very hard. It is sluggish. It is a lot of effort. But oil, is the flow. It's the anointing. Amen. And we push by the oil. Sometimes you don't want to stop. Hallelujah. But you got to stop. Amen. Part three coming. Hallelujah. Now, as I end, I must say this. Why do you say this? Right place, right time. Very simple. All right? Because she was the only one later on, she anointed Jesus. And later on, the women came to anoint Jesus on the third day at his tomb. He rose. They were at the wrong time and the wrong place. Right place, in that case, right place, but wrong time. They were not where Jesus is. So in a way, it's the wrong place also. He's not there. Hey, only one who anointed Jesus for his burial was Mary. And Mary wasn't there with all the ladies in that morning. There were other Marys, but Mary, the sister of Lazarus, wasn't there. And I must share this with you. Notice, go back to as she approached him. See the way she approached him? I must tell you this. One last butter. She approached him. Is in the Greek, it's actually, she came up higher to Jesus. Amen. In the translation, show them the translation, ESV. She went up to him. Darby is coming up, she said. And NASB, she came up to him. The idea is when you're complaining, when you're worried, you are in a low place. You're in a low place in life. But Jesus in a high place. Rise up, my love, my fair one. The winter has passed. Let all your worries be behind. Come with me. Rise up. Rise up. Every time you come to Jesus, like Martha did, she come to Jesus. Amen. You go higher. Amen. When you come to spend time in His Word, you are going higher in life. When you spend time in the Word and delight your soul in fatness, you're going higher in life. Amen. Let this be the thing that you will do, and you end up like Mary, doing the right thing at the right time. Mary, by the way, was already in the high place. She was at the feet of Jesus. Martha had to come up. Mary was there. It speaks of a spiritual place where every time you come to God's Word and say, Lord, I want fatness. I want the riches of your word. Open my eyes. Let this be the year. Amen. You got the best book ever. Yale University, recently I read, 2022, Discovery. Yale University said this, people who read often live long. Wow. They didn't see what book, all right? I believe they generally speaking, but I believe the book above every book is the Bible. Amen. Let this be your goal this year. And all of a sudden you find yourself right place, right time. And all the people said, amen. Thank you for your time. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Hallelujah. If you're here, you've never received Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, pray this prayer with me from your heart. Confess Jesus as your Lord. Believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. You shall be safe. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord, and He died on the cross for all my sins. The Father's beloved, Jesus Christ, is now my Lord and my Savior. And you raised Him from the dead when I was declared by you righteous, not guilty. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All the people said, amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much to share, man. And we have not even finished Genesis 24. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is going to be a year of harvest of souls.
Yes.
Amen. For His kingdom. Rise up, my love, my beautiful one. Come away. The winter is past. Your sorrows, the rains have all gone. The time of the blooming of flowers and singing, a time of rejoicing. And this coming week, Father, I pray, Lord, that you grant them, Lord, your people, tokens, manifestations of all that has been shared just now, that before they call, you'll answer. And yet not neglecting, Lord, their prayer with you, but before they call, you will answer in many, many, many areas this week. Grant them a manifestation of right time, right place, meeting that old friend, that old colleague, that old relative, or just by chance meeting someone new. They'll open a door of opportunity for them. Grant them kairos, they and their families, Lord. Place us all at the right time, at the right place throughout this week. Even as we head towards Chinese New Year, Father, we pray, Lord, that we'll all be throughout this week at the right time, at the right place. Even when we go to Chinatown, right time, right place. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. God bless you. Love you. May your nose gifts and your 10 shekels operate throughout this week. In Jesus' name. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. But don't go just yet. If you'd like to receive prayer, share your testimony, or find out more about Gospel Partner, just click the link on this screen. If not, I'll see you in the next episode.